Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com. Probably the best download decision you'll ever make.
This month's book is The One from the Other by Philip Kerr. The One from the Other is the first of Philip Kerr's series featuring Bernie Gunter that I read. Set in Germany in 1949, it follows the fortunes of an ex-policeman turned private investigator who takes on a superficially simple case, searching for a missing husband, only to find himself pulled into a net of lies, intrigue and deceit. In common with all members of the Kripo, the criminal police, Gunter was enrolled into the SS when the Nazis came to power in 1936, and although his views on National Socialism are both scathing and unflattering, he is viewed as an old comrade by many members of the party. A lot of his work comes from this source, and he has an unbiased view of both the defeated Germans and their conquerors as he struggles to survive in the chaos of post-war Germany.
Munich, 1949. We were just a stone's throw from what had once been the concentration camp, but when we were handing out directions, we tended not to mention that unless it was absolutely necessary. The hotel on the east side of the medieval town of Dachau was down a cobbled, poplar-lined side road separated from the former KZ, now a residential settlement camp for German and Czech refugees from the communists, by the Vilm River Canal. It was a half-timbered affair, a three-story suburban villa with a steep saddle roof made of orange tiles and a wraparound first-floor balcony overflowing with red geraniums. It was the kind of place that had seen better days. Since the Nazis and then the German prisoners of war had left Dachau, nobody came to the hotel any more, except perhaps the odd construction engineer helping to supervise the partial erasure of a KZ where, for several very unpleasant weeks in the summer of 1936, I myself had been an inmate. The elected representatives of the Bavarian people saw no need to preserve the remnants of the camp for present or future visitors. Most residents of the town, including myself, were of the opinion, however, that the camp presented the only opportunity for bringing money into Dachau. But there was little chance of that happening so long as the memorial temple remained unbuilt, and a mass grave where more than 5,000 were buried, unmarked. The visitors stayed away, and despite my efforts with the geraniums, the hotel began to die. So, when a new two-door Buick Roadmaster pulled up on our little brick driveway, I told myself that the two men were most probably lost and had stopped to ask directions to the US Third Army barracks, although it was hard to see how they could have missed the place. The driver stepped out of the Buick, stretched like a child, and looked up at the sky as if he was surprised that birds could be heard singing in a place like Dachau. I often had the same thought myself. The passenger stayed in his seat, staring straight ahead, and probably wishing he was somewhere else. He had my sympathies, and possessed of the shiny green sedan, I would certainly have kept on driving. Neither man was wearing a uniform, but the driver was altogether better dressed than his passenger. Better dressed, better fed, and in rather better health, or so it seemed to me. He tap-danced up the stone steps and through the front door like he owned the place, and I found myself nodding politely at the hatless, tanned, bespectacled man with a face like a chess grandmaster who had considered every possible move. He didn't look lost at all. "Are you the owner?" he asked, as soon as he came through the door, without making much of an effort at a good German accent and without even looking at me while he awaited an answer. He glanced idly around at the hotel decor, which was supposed to make the place feel more homey, but only if you roomed with a milkmaid. There were cowbells, spinning wheels, hemp combs, rakes, sharpening stones, and a big wooden barrel on top of which lay a two-day-old Süddeutsche Zeitung and a truly ancient copy of the Münchener Staatsanzeiger. On the walls were some watercolours of some local rural scenes from a time when painters better than Hitler had come to Dachau, attracted by the peculiar charm of the Amper River and the Dachau Moos, an extensive marsh now mostly drained and turned into farmland. It was all as kitsch as an Ormolu cuckoo clock. "You could say that I'm the owner," I said. at least while my wife is indisposed. She's in the hospital, in Munich. Nothing serious, I hope, said the American, still not looking at me. He seemed more interested in the watercolours than the health of my wife. I imagine you must be looking for the US military barracks at the old KZ, I said. You turned off the road when you should have just driven across the bridge over the river canal. It's less than 100 yards from here, on the other side of those trees.
The One from the Other can be read as a freestanding novel, and in fact I didn't realise that it's not the first in the series. Kerr began writing the books whilst an advertising copywriter and published 3 earlier novels, now available as a compilation called Berlin Noir, in the 1990s. He returned to Bernie Gunter in 2006 and has now completed 11 Bernie Gunter books. They have been extremely successful, winning him a dagger from the Crime Writers Association and the RBA International Prize for Crime Writing. Kerr is a gifted writer and is able to move almost effortlessly between locations and through time, weaving a story that sweeps the reader along.
We know each other from before the war, he said. We met at medical school in Frankfurt in 1928. I would have studied in Vienna, where I was born, but for the fact that I had to leave in rather a hurry. There was a girl I left in a bit of a clamp. You know the kind of thing. Rather an inglorious moment, I'm afraid. Still, these things happen, eh? After med school, I got a job at a hospital in West Africa for a while, then Bremen. When the war started, neither Heinrich nor I was much interested in saving lives, I'm afraid. So we joined the Waffen-SS. Heinrich was interested in tanks, the way he's interested in nearly everything with an engine. I went along for the ride, so to speak. My parents were not very pleased with my choice of military service. They didn't like Hitler or the Nazis. My father is dead now, but my mother hasn't spoken to me since the war. Anyway, things went all right for us until the last weeks of the war. Then I got hit. That's it. That's my story. No medals, no glory, and definitely no pity, if you don't mind. Frankly, I had it coming. I did something wrong once, and I don't mean that poor girl I left bumped up. I mean in the SS. The way we went through France and Holland, just killing people whenever the idea took us. We all did things we're not proud of, I said. Perhaps, he said. Sometimes I find it very hard to believe that any of it happened at all. It's the difference between war and peace, that's all, I told him. War makes killing seem feasible and matter of fact. In peacetime, it isn't. Not in the same way. In peacetime, everyone just worries that if you kill someone, it will leave a dreadful mess on the carpet. Worrying about the mess on the carpet and whether it matters is the only real difference between war and peace. I took a hit on my cigarette. It's not Tolstoy, but I'm working on it. No, I like it, he said. For one thing, it's a lot shorter than Tolstoy. These days I fall asleep when I read anything longer than a bus ticket. I like you, Bernie. Enough to give you some good advice about Engelbertina. I like you too, Eric. But there's no need to tell me to lay off her because you think of her like a sister. Believe it or not, I'm not the kind to take advantage. That's just it, he said. You couldn't take advantage of Engelbertina if your middle name was Svengali and she wanted to sing at the Regina Palace Hotel. No, if anyone takes advantage, it will be her. Believe me, it's you who needs to be careful. She'll play you like a Steinway if you let her onto your piano stool. Sometimes it's fun to be played, but only if you know it and you don't mind. I'm just telling you so that you don't fall all the way for her. Specifically this. She isn't the marrying kind. He removed the pipe from his mouth and studied the bowl judiciously. I tossed him the matches again. The plain fact of the matter is, she's married already.
One great strength of the whole series is the quality of Kerr's research. He paints a very real picture of post-war Germany, from Berlin slang to geographical details. This is not the black and white, us good, them bad world we tend to imagine from our moral high ground. There are good and bad people on both sides of the occupation, but most fall somewhere between the two extremes, just as we tend to in real life. It is not an easy thing, making your hero an ex-SS man, even one who despises the Nazis as much as Bernie Gunter does. But Kerr manages to make him both believable and strangely likeable. Kerr's defeated Germany is a grim place where old loyalties and past errors can prove fatal. Yet, partly due to Bernie's occasionally rather unwise sense of humour, it is also funny and touchingly human at times. The One from the Other is an excellent introduction to one of the finest historical thriller writers of the generation, as well as one of the most inventive and entertaining.
Being selected by Jenny Finch and her team for the Book of the Month is, quite frankly, one of the pinnacles of any writer's ambition.
Offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 308188 or visit our website, rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre.
Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you would like to access a paid service, such as our wide range of TV channels, Sky Sports, our great range of films, or just need a little internet access, then you'll need to buy a bundle. Buying a longer stay bundle will give you the best value for money, so try to buy a bundle to suit your maximum length of stay. If you pay for a TV service with your debit or credit card and happen to leave the hospital earlier than expected, then just contact our customer care team from your bedside phone. They may be able to downgrade your bundle to a shorter duration and give you a partial refund. To find out more about bedside entertainment services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, to contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial star 800.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes, you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care 24/7. to call us home.
From the magic of the mind to the excellence of eternity, this is the Book of the Month podcast from Southside Broadcasting. A whole new area of broadcasting excellence.
Quite right, too. So, Rob Nichols, welcome to the Book of the Month. Jenny, you're doing a superb critique, as ever, of the one from the other.
As ever.
What did you make of it?
I thought it was fascinating. It was very much almost a Philip Marlowe set in Germany. I've been in Europe a bit this summer with football and things like that. I went to Lyon and visited the Resistance Museum there, and I was at Prague. Also visited a couple of museums, and a lot of I read a lot about the aftermath of the Nazis in Germany, and so much rings true in this novel. The chaos, I think that was the word you used, Jenny. That it's quite incredible, and it's so unbelievable the amount of people that actually escaped Germany, the amount of senior people. You always think it's just you always read about things to do with Bormann. And think it's all fabricated, but so many people left, and so many people were working for the Americans against the Soviets, because that suddenly became the biggest threat. So it's incredible from the historical perspective, and a brilliant sort of the way that the sort of plot and everything is superb. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm surprised it actually hasn't been optioned. I'm assuming it has been optioned for a film, because certainly the whole sort of Bernie Gunter experience seems to lend itself to a kind of thing, and particularly when we've had various British detectives who've, in sort of wartime-based thing, I think, I've forgotten the name, the gentleman who sort of featured in the wartime scenarios from
Foyle?
Britain. Foyle, exactly. Foyle's war system. So I could easily see Bernie Gunter kind of filling in terms of that scenario. I thought at times Philip Kerr was almost too meticulous in terms of his description. Was that a fair critic to comment? Did you appreciate what
I really appreciate it, to be honest. Just because when you go back to Germany, you always question what was rebuilt, what was still standing, and then you see all those photographs of the devastation of Berlin, the devastation of most cities, and. It's something I've been thinking about quite a lot recently, the fact that it was very important for the Germans to rebuild their cities, whereas in our country we didn't rebuild. I'm maybe going away from the subject a bit. We didn't rebuild. We didn't want to remember in a way. And you'd think it would be the other way around, wouldn't you? But every city, every town in Germany has its old quarter, which has been rebuilt after the war, and that was very important. But in our country we wanted to move on, and we produced all these awful buildings in the 50s.
It very much became a classic case of the concrete overcoats were the things that were in vogue, and the brutalist aspect of architecture as well, as probably best described if you look photographically at a comparison between the Houses of Westminster and the Royal Albert Hall and the National Hall, the National Theatre, and the whole area in the South Bank and that zone, because it's quite an interesting zone from that. We'll bring in other guests today, Reverend Marie Edwards. Marie, you haven't actually read The One from the Other, and it took me some time to actually see the significance of the title. It does actually work quite nicely insofar as you can't tell one from the other. The different line working for that, I think he plays it on a number of levels. But from what you've heard, is it the kind of novel you would consider actually sort of having as a summer read or taking away with you, actually sort of perusing?
Yeah, I like detective ones and crime novels and things, and I'm a bit like Robin, that I like descriptive stuff because I like to be able to imagine in my mind's eye what a place looks like, and sometimes you can just kind of skip over that and still enjoy the storyline, but if it's somewhere that you've not been before or if it's sort of really significant to the plot, it's nice to have that. But yeah, I like detectives and crime novels and things, so mystery and intrigue.
So it's one that you might possibly go for from that point of view. Okay, Jenny, as our very own legendary crime writer. Of course, the latest in the quadrilogy of Alex Hastings will be released shortly. It is, of course, entitled
Smoke and Adders.
And clearly you kind of provide lots of wonderful, evocative descriptions of the West Country in the 1980s and so on. Did that resonate with you when you were reading Philip Kerr's The One from the Other?
It did, very much. I took quite a lot from Philip Kerr in the description, in the way he set things. And in particular, when I came to write the second book in the series, The Drowners, I suddenly realised that I was writing a sequel and I had no idea how to do it, because some people would have read the first book and some people will come completely new. And I realised I had no idea what I was doing. And so I looked around my crime bookshelves and pulled out different books. And the one man who did it so well was Philip Kerr. And so I used how he managed to make his books both standalone and a sequel. And I used that as a template, for which I will be eternally grateful to him.
Does he know?
He might do now.
Exactly. It's worth working through that basis. And Rob, wearing your sort of historical hat, you said you appreciated the descriptions of history and so on. Mm. Clearly there are two sides to every story of the war, and as I was familiar with the Peenemunde and the rocket scientists and so on, but
yes.
Does it also set the scene for kind of contemporary issues, in terms of we think, well, what is actually happening with respect to obviously the Iraq scenario, rebuilding other areas of the globe as well that are suffering from conflict and so on?
Yeah, absolutely. There's more than two sides to every story, and I think that's the incredible complexity that came out of Germany, and that in some ways is still working itself out now in what's happened with the EU this year and Brexit and everybody having their own version of history, the way that everybody remembers when. You know, some people say that when Britain was great, and et cetera. And it's happening in America now with Trump trying to take back to when America was great, and people reinvent.
In case people are wondering with respect to the fun we've been having on this edition of Book of the Month, it's not a case of the creepo actually reversing into the studio. Yeah. That's actually just obviously we've had the studio windows open for a time. So that beep that's going on there, don't worry, it's all fine, we're still alive. And Jenny, from your own perspective, clearly one of the tests of any good piece of literature is that it continues to resonate. I mean, this was written in the early part of this century, presumably.
2006.
So he's obviously looking back on a historical period. And how do you think it'll sort of fit with some German readers? I mean, I suspect that actually it'll go down very well. Because certainly looking at it, I would initially have said, well, Philip Kerr must be German to write from that perspective.
I wondered about that, yes. Oh. No, he's managed to capture the cynicism and the sense that probably a lot of people did have during National Socialism, that you just went along and you got by and you turned your head and ignored it or helped where you could. People were incredibly helpless. You can't condone what happened in any shape or form, but there was a huge number of what they called Mussnazis, who were people who just kind of vaguely went through the motions and went, oh, this is just rubbish, let it stop. And actually Bernie Gunter does walk away from it all. He manages to walk away, he's hauled back in, he walks away again, and he manages to stand up against them even after being sent to Dachau in one of the books. And you have to admire him for that. There were good Nazis.
And certainly in terms of setting up a hotel just outside Dachau, you have to say, bad decision, really. Not the best, not the best direction.
He did inherit the hotel, but yes, yeah. You just want to dump that, don't you? It's really not the most scenic site.
He wasn't a Nazi, though, was he? He didn't join the party.
He never joined
the
party.
Because, as you said at the start, that all the police were immediately put into the SS.
That's right.
He never, ever joined, so he was never a Nazi.
Yeah.
He was in the SS. Mm. And that was quite a revelation, isn't it? Because you just assume that the SS are the most hardcore Nazis. Mm.
Yeah. And curiously to say, through my own family history, I do know somebody who actually would have served as an interesting model for Bernie Gunter, who again had done service for Germany, had actually been in the SS, but not the Nazis from that point of view. It's an interesting sort of perspective, and that was, I think, the last time I spoke with him was probably 1970, so I was very, very young at the time, but there was still a sort of sense of, well, for me, actually, ancient history. But clearly at the time, somebody who, this was literally probably about 30 years after the war when he was sort of speaking about it, which is quite interesting from that. So extraordinary. Cinematically, I think if we were able to actually snatch Humphrey Bogart back, he'd probably be ideal, as you said, Rob, for that kind of character. Or possibly actually, if not Bogart, then perhaps the input of Robert Mitchum.
Yes.
Be another sort of character, I think.
You could hear that slightly louche voice doing it beautifully.
Yeah, it was coming across from that one. So, Marie's already said she may well be looking to get The One from the Other by Philip Kerr, or possibly getting another Philip Kerr text and sort of working through that basis. Yeah. It is either sort of, I mean, I'm tempted, and I think I probably will actually look at some of the other earlier Bernie Gunter series that we've put together. But, Rob, what would be your score for The One from the Other by Philip Kerr?
My score is 9.
Mm-hmm. I'm going 8.5 because I did feel at times Gunter needed to sort out his libido. I thought his description of libido, I thought if I hear one more person about, or one more time when Gunter saying, oh, she had a figure that men would die for, or so on and so forth, paraphrase that, I thought it was a little bit too Raymond Chandler-esque, Mickey Spillane, I think, from that point of view. So it's sort of, for the hardball detective fiction, I think works well, but still, a solid 8.5. And Jenny?
I think Bernie Gunter had a difficult war. I think we can allow him a few figures to die for. I'm going to give him 9 as well.
Which brings us around to the next book of the month, which is already lined up as far as the summer season is actually concerned. We were contemplating William Sitwell's Eggs or Anarchy, but in the end, Rob, we've gone for a romance. I know already we've actually got, it's a comedic romance, Reverend Marie Edwards punching, giving air punches of joy there. Or perhaps that's not air punches of joy, but whatever. Jenny, it will be.
It will be Christine Webber's summer romantic comedy, Who'd Have Thought It?
It's the Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Jenny Finch and a team of top writing talent.